that is very important. Decisions. You know, decisions is important. The scripture says, as a tree is bent, so shall it grow. I told you this once before, but I'll explain it again. Now, when we first started our church, we didn't have much money, and our church was pretty small in the sanctuary and the other campus. My wife and I drew out this little planning out in front, and looking at the nursery for some inexpensive trees, we saw one of these beautiful bent tree pines. You know how then you look at the price tag. And when you look at the price tag, you walk on. So I said, well, you know, they don't grow that way. They bend them artificially. So I bought one of these real little cheap trees for about $3.98 and took some wire and bent it and wrapped it around it and bent it this way. And a few years later, we took the wire off, and it's been that way, you know, ever since, up until lately when actually some of the trees though had died because of the roots going into the septic tank and so forth, but area, grain fields. But as that tree was bent, so it grew. And that's the way it is with lives. Decisions shape lives. God calls us to make decisions. In Joshua 24:15, he said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Make a decision as to who you're going to serve. Are you with us or are you not with us? Elijah asked a question on Mount Carmel to Israel. How long halt ye between two opinions? Make a decision. Are you for God or against him? Are you going to submit to God's word or are you not? Are you going to submit to his government or are you not? Are you behind your church or are you not? Are you going to do what he says or not? Are you going to trust him or not? Are you going to live for him or not? Make a decision. They were trying to do two things at the same time, two opposite things. At every command of God, we make a decision. You know that? Every time God says something, whether through the pastor, through the word, through Bible college teacher, through prophecy, or whatever, we make a decision. Yes or no. At every temptation of the devil, we make a decision. When he tempts us, we say yes or we say no. At every opportunity that comes our way, we make a decision. A job opportunity comes your way. Bible college offer comes your way. A ministry comes your way. Gossip comes your way. Something comes your way. And when it does, you make a decision. You make a decision to trust or a decision to doubt. A decision to pray or a decision to turn back. A decision to forgive or a decision to blame. A decision to submit or a decision to rebel. Decision to be sweet or decision to be sour. Even very small decisions may alter the entire course of history. You know that? Small decisions have altered the entire course of history. And small decisions have altered the entire course of people's lives. For example, I enrolled in a Bible college in Boise, Idaho. No, I didn't either. What I meant to say is I enrolled in a Bible college in San Antonio, Texas. And I looked at a number of brochures, and this was back in before the neo-Pentecostal days. And I was in Pentecost, and I looked at the Pentecostal churches, and I read the brochures, and I decided this is the one that was growing the fastest and had the most of the move of God. I enrolled in that Bible college. I sent my money in, my application in, they accepted me. But then I made another decision to be best man at my brother's wedding, who was graduating from a Bible college in Boise. And when I was down there, after he got married and he left, I made another decision. Because I had been on the wrestling team of the high school, and also YMCA, which was wrestling collegiate and other YMCAs. And I made a decision to go down to the YMCA Bill and see if they had a wrestling team, see any wrestlers, you know, to wrestle. And I went down there, and they didn't, but the athletic director, and talking to him and finding out that I'd won a Pacific Northwest amateur a title in my weight class and so forth, he decided to hire me. And I went back and I talked to the Bible College dean. And in San Antonio, I didn't have any job offer. And I went down there, and he kind of suggested, well, why don't you come to school here, Don, and work there, you know. And I made another decision. You know, right or wrong, I made a decision. And I decided, and I changed schools. Now, if I had not made, I don't know what my life would have been like if I had to take, if I had taken, the, made the first decision. It looked best on the surface, but I see now there are some other things that, in retrospect, that I didn't see then, that could have been the other way. But had I not made the decision that I made, and I didn't give it a, really honest and truthfully, I didn't give it a lot of thought. I didn't give it a lot of prayer and deep thought. I mean, I did it by, like you do, buy a little skull cap down at the store, you know. I did it pretty fast. Like a lot of young people make decisions, just haul off and do something. But had I not done what I did, I would have never had this beautiful young lady down here as my wife. My daughter wouldn't be sitting out here with my grandchildren. And I very possibly would not be standing here among you. A lot of you possibly would not be here. I don't know what else would have happened, where else I would have been ministering and what I would have done. I have no idea. But all I'm saying is that the little decisions, just a little decision, as it would seem, changed the course of my life for better or for worse or for some way. You know, a lot of us are like the man who said, if I could just live my life over again, I'd make a different set of mistakes. You know, you never know, you know, what the other road would have been like unless it's God's road, clearly God's road. But after I went to this school a while, I decided to go to another school back in Minneapolis. But then I made another decision not to go. And after I made a decision not to go, the Latter Rain movement was in came in force. And I started to go with this young lady. And so that decision changed the course of my life. Some of you have made a decision. You made a decision at one time to go listen to a singing team from the chapel from Seattle, whatever they were. And as a result of that, you are now here in Bible College, where you are. Because you made a decision one night. Well, you almost didn't make that decision, a lot of you. A lot of you almost never went and listened to that team that night. But you did. And you're here because of it. You have made other decisions in your life. Some of you have decided to go to Bible College. Some of you decided not to go to Bible College. Some decided to take this job. Some decided not to. Some decided to marry this girl. And some decided to listen to the counselor and take certain steps. Some of you decided not to break off with that person. And so you broke off with them. And you've married somebody else. And your life is now different because you broke with that person that the marriage counselor said to break with. Some of you did not break with the one they said to break with. And you made that decision. And your life is different than it would have been had you made that decision. Some got into situations where they got divorces, and now your life is different because of the divorce. Some have committed a crime or a sin in your life, and it has resulted in a change or a turn in your direction in some way. Others repented to the Lord, and that decision brought you back on even course again. Some people are out of this church backslidden because there was a young man who wasn't saved, and made a decision to go with him regardless because he was handsome and they hadn't had a date for a long time. They fell in love with him. They decided to disregard the counsel of the church and to marry him anyway. They are now backslidden. They may go to hell over that decision. Over the decision, just the date, they weren't going to marry him. They weren't going to fall in love with him, you understand. I mean, they were just not going to follow the church because they just needed a date. And he asked them, and it was hard to say no because it was fun, and they wanted to. They were just going to go out with him one night. And as a result, some of them will be in hell. I mean, small decisions can shape your entire life and turn your life. The Hamites, which migrated across Arabia into Ethiopia and down into Africa and have become the black races, they have been put into subjection. Now, I'm not talking, this isn't, don't get all race, you know, race-oriented and race this. I'm just talking pure history. Everybody and anybody who has ever studied church history, I mean history, knows that the people from the continent of Africa have been treated horribly by being taken slaves by people from all over the world. And they have been in darkness down there. They have not had the light of the gospel like Europe had and like this country. But God put a curse on Ham through the descendants of Canaan from in that migration, and those poor people have suffered because of the decision of Ham, just like Canaanites suffered from the decision of Cain, and all of us Adamites have suffered because of the decision of Adam and of Eve. Nimrod made a decision, and because of the decision of Nimrod, the world, the peoples of the world have been scattered into many languages, and we have language problems and different ethnic groups because people have been scattered according to language, and then each one has intermarried and intermarried among their own group until the predominant genes have caused these people to look alike and different than this people, and they are alike and different than this people, when once they were of one blood, and if they would have kept mixed, they would all have looked the same. And now we have the races that would never have been there, excepting for the decision of Nimrod, with language barriers. In the millennium, we shall all be of one speech, the scripture says. Sarah made a decision that Abraham agreed to, and because of it produced Ishmael, and Israel has been fighting with Ishmael ever since. The problem of the Arab world today, between Israel and the Arab world, is still going on. It's still going on. Ishmael is still a problem in the world to Israel. Pharaoh made 10 decisions. Every decision he made brought a catastrophe, a judgment upon the land. And then he made an 11th decision. His 11th decision cost him his entire army and his own life. Achan made a decision. It caused Israel to be defeated in the first battle, or I should say be routed, in the first battle at Ai, and it caused him and his family to be burned to death. Jeroboam made a decision. He decided to rebel against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, in Judah, and break off and have 10 nations, tribes go to the north. There was a rebellion in the camp, and they took 10/12 of the people out of the land. They even took, actually, 11/13 until Levi came back to the south again. And because of that decision, Israel, the northern tribe, has been scattered over the face of the earth and lost. Now, of course, they had to make other decisions that would cement that, but it started them on a road. They separated themselves from that authority that God put in Judah, in Jerusalem, and with a temple there. And when they started their own temple and their own priesthood, God never honored it, and not one time did they ever have any religious king. They, from the moment they rebelled, established their own temple in the north, they had nothing. God was not with them from that time on. They said, we'll have our own. But God says, no, you're not going to have your own. You're going to do it my way. There are people who think, you'll throw me out of the church. I can go to some other church. My brother, you may go to another church, but you may be out of the church of Jesus Christ and out of favor with God. Belshazzar made a decision. And when he decided to make the decision one day to drink with the thousands of his Lord and let down the gates and invite everybody from the opposite side of Babylon across, it cost him his kingdom that night. And the Medes and the Persians came in and took over because of a decision that he made. Esther made a decision that saved the Jewish nation. Ezra and Nehemiah made a decision that caused Jerusalem and the temple to be rebuilt and to start a pious movement and carry on the work of God in the Old Covenant. Jonah made a decision that put him down in the belly of a whale. And then he made another decision that put him in the city of Nineveh, preaching. Jesus Christ made a decision that has saved our souls and has redeemed the human race. Can you see how a decision can affect a lot of people? Julius Caesar, when he crossed the Rubicon, said, "The die is cast." He made a decision. Whatever would be, would be. Hannibal made a decision when he crossed the French Alps with his elephants to attack Rome. Every decision has resulted in something. Now, while oftentimes one decision can shape the destiny of a soul and the destiny of a nation, or decide a natural path, continual decisions generally decide what we are spiritually. In Isaiah 57, we have a messianic prophecy concerning Jesus who says, "I have set my face like flint." Because he made a decision to set his face like flint, we are here today saved. What if he had set his face like plastic? We would have been lost. We would have been lost. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, I want to read just a couple of scriptures concerning continual decisions. You know, you can grow weary, you can grow tired, but if you continue in your decision for the Lord, someday you're going to stand on the other side in glory. But if you make a decision to drop out because emotionally you're affected, you're tired, you're worn out, that can change the whole destiny forever and forever and forever, world without end. It's very important that you make right decisions. 1 Timothy 4:16. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." A decision to take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine and continue in them. Some have not continued in the doctrine, and they have lost out with God. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 10. Give me a moment to find it. "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." They do always err, see, in their heart. They made continual decisions that caused God to cast them off, and they all died in the wilderness because of continual decisions that were constantly griping, constantly complaining, constantly unsubmissive, doubting, and rebelliousness, and therefore they lost out with God. In chapter 3, verse 6, we read, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of a hope firm unto the end." Repeated decisions to hold fast and firm our confidence and hope unto the very end will get us to the very end in good shape. Early right decisions are very important. "Bring up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it." Some of you have made a decision of the Dewey School that arose in Chicago about 40 years ago. Perhaps some of you have, to not spank your children because you might harm them for life. And as a result, that child has been harmed for life. That child has not learned to ever be submissive. There are children that have been brought up because of the decision of their parent never to spank them, and let them fuss and argue and fight, and they've lived to watch those children be put in the electric chair because of their decision. Others have decided to bring their children up to know the Lord, and they have been a blessing, and they shall inherit eternal life. It's often difficult for Nimrods and Jezebels to change once they have been bent long enough in life. However, the last decision you make is the most important decision. And one decision can change your course. There was a thief on a cross who made a good decision. It was the last decision he ever made. It was the right one. It was not as good as if he had made a decision earlier. He'll find his treasure bag in heaven mighty small. He'll end up on the other side with a suit on his back, so to speak, and that's about all he'll have, but he'll be in the gate. But others have laid treasures up on the other side because they've been willing to endure. They've made decisions to count the glories of the hereafter more important than the treasures of Egypt, here for just a season. In Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If you make a decision to go for God, and once you have tasted the glory of the world to come, and then you make a decision to fall away, the end is worse than it was in the beginning. Last decisions are so important. Demas made a decision and joined the world and lost out with God. Judas made a decision that cost him his life in suicide and the hellfire. Balaam made a decision to bring him a little gain in this world. He fought making that decision, but he finally gave in to it. And he wandered out of the path and went over the line and will find himself in the lake of fire forever. Jonah made a decision that saved him from his fateful mistake. Decisions, decisions, multitudes in the valley of decisions. Decisions to listen to counsel. Decisions not to listen to counsel. Decisions are like rudders. They steer your life. Allow the Word of God to guide and shape your decisions. Make your decisions carefully. Pray over your decisions and submit your decisions unto the Lord. And make sure that you're willing to go or stay, marry or not marry, to do or not do. So many people say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done as long as you give me Johnny to marry. See, those kind of decisions are dangerous decisions. We must trust him. We must trust him as a superior wisdom. Because those decisions can seem right at the moment. There is a way which seemeth right unto men, but the end thereof is what? Destruction. It seems right unto man. It looks good. The lights are blinking, the music is blowing. Opportunity. Elvis Presley made a decision. And look where he is today. Decisions. Decisions. Let me read you two verses in closing. James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Two passages of scripture, I mean to say. James 4, 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. You see, one man said, I am going to make a decision to pull down my barns and build greater. And that night his soul was required of him. He never had chance. Another man put off a decision to give his life to Jesus Christ, because he had to work overtime to support his family at the mill. And then the decision came back again, and he got an advancement, and they were requiring him now to work more because he got an advancement, so he couldn't give his life to the Lord right now, but later. Later, as he was made supervisor, and the press was upon him, he couldn't do it right then, but he would later. And then there came a day when he lay dying, and on his deathbed, the pastor again, for the fourth time, came to him and asked him if he would make the decision to give his life to Jesus. And he was kind of coming in and out of a coma, and the perspiration and the fever was upon him, and his mind was whirling and rather incoherent. And just before he slipped out into eternity, he heard him say, "The mill, the mill, the noise of the wheels, the grinding. I can't hear what you're saying. I can't hear you. The wheels are making so much noise." And he passed into eternity. He sold his life to the mill. There are people that are selling their life to something of this world, and someday their life is called. One day your soul is going to be called home, and you can't undo it. You can't always undo everything you do. There may be some of these precious brothers who have gone away from the assembly and hurt and so forth, and they may someday come back with tears streaming down their face. They may stand upon the platform someday when we have 100 satellite churches across the nation and the building is full and minister seminars, and tears may flow down the face of someone, and he may say, "Forgive me, I was wrong." And we will forgive them and hug them with tears of joy. But what about the 20 the affected that went to hell? You can't always undo it. It's like the situation of a man in New York City, that he was maligned by a woman, lied against, accused, and attacked. And the man was innocent. But because of the bitterness of her heart, she ruined his career because he was fired from his job because of the publicity. His wife divorced him because of the publicity. He lost everything. He went into where he had no money. He lived like a pauper the rest of his life. And as an old man, many, many, many years later, a successful businessman ruined by lies, the woman came to him one day as an old, bitter man, old, bent frame. And she said, "I would like to apologize to you." He said, "Those many years ago when I lied and maligned against you, I was so wrong. Would you forgive me?" And he said, "Please follow me." And he went into the store and he bought a newspaper. And then he walked around the corner and into the Empire State Building, or whatever the building was in New York. And he took an elevator clear to the top and he walked out into the balcony. And he took all the paper and he just tore it to little pieces. And it was a windy day, and he threw it out into the winds, and the wind took it and whipped it. And high above the street, some of it began to fall and whisk away, and it went all over, and the winds blew it across other buildings and down avenues and down streets, and it floated in the breeze, the light paper, for miles around. And he said, "Okay, but go and get all the paper and put it all back together again. You can't undo some things when you've got that you've done. There's no way you can put it all back together again." His life had been torn up and blown to the winds, and all that could never be undone again. It isn't a matter of, "I'm sorry, everything's hokey-dokey." Some things can't be undone again. Decisions are important. And I think we need to be careful that we invite the Lord to help us in our decisions. And we make sure our decisions line with the book. Because if we don't, and we allow any spirit of bitterness, any gall of bitterness, any lack of forgiving, we allow any meanness, animosity, hatred, lies, variances, strifes, sin, anything that would take us away that might give the devil an opportunity to put a hook in our jaw and pull us aside. I preached in a mission many years ago. And a man came up to me after the service and he said, "Preacher, I know what you preached is true. I know that I am a sinner. I know I am going to hell. I would like to be a Christian, but I can't. I've gone too far." He said, "I was in death row in California. This is the time when Governor Brown was there and all the decisions were being made about whether it should be death, a penalty or not. There was a big fight about the matter." He said, "I was in death row. They told me I was going to be killed tomorrow morning, executed. Tomorrow morning came, said they had a reprieve to noon. At noon they said they had a reprieve to Wednesday. Wednesday said they had a reprieve to Thursday. Thursday was put off to Friday. Friday was put off for a week or two. Then it was put off for another day, and then until Thursday at 2 o'clock, and then Friday at 1 o'clock, and then Wednesday," and this thing went on and on. He said, "You don't know what it's like to sit on death row day by day going through that." He said, "I have become so cold." He said, "I have killed 7 men. He said, "I can put a knife in a man's stomach, rip his stomach open, and look at his face." And he said, "It doesn't bother me. I'm cold as stone. I've severed my conscience till there's nothing left. I have said no to God and to rightness for so long." He said, "I am absolutely dead." He said, "I know you're preaching the truth. I would like to go to heaven, but I can't. I can't find. There's nothing left. There's no pull. There's no feeling. I'm dead and cold as stone. I'm going to hell, and I know it." And he turned around and walked out of the mission. That man was once a little tender baby that somebody was hugged and kissed and powdered and kissed on the tootsies and on the tummy and played with and was so happy about. But decisions has plunged that one into such a sorrowful state. You are what you are by repeated decisions of your will. And you're not what you're not because of decisions of your will and lack of decisions of your will. And you will be at the judgment day and next year and 5 years. And when the latter rain falls, you will be what you will be because of decisions that you make between now and then. And decisions can always be changed at your will. Except the Spirit draw him, no man can come unto him. Be careful of your decisions. People are insane because of the decisions. They're out in insane asylums because of decisions. They're demon-possessed because of the decisions. They're alcoholics. They're mighty preachers of the word. They are married and divorced 4 times because of the decisions. They are this or they are that because of the decision. Be careful of your decisions. This is a dangerous life we're living in. Heaven or hell is the end of decisions. Multitudes in the valley of decisions. Be careful of your decisions.